Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Today we're honoring all the mothers and mother figures in our church family who faithfully nurture, care, and serve others. We also recognize, of course, that while for this day brings some people a lot of joy, for others it is difficult, and sometimes it's a mix of both. So wherever you are at today, we are just very glad that you are here. Now, every family is different, different dynamics and different personalities, but sometimes in general, a family will have similar defining characteristics. So like for my own family, my sons and my husband, we love Disney, we all have a great sense of humor, we're all creative, we're foodies. Well, I don't know if I'm really a foodie, I know they are. I'm always like asking for my burger sauce on the side, so I don't know. I don't think I am one really. Now, I just want to bring up a photo today. This is my family growing up, so we've got two photos here, one of my parents and us when we were younger, and one of my siblings, and we are all dressed up and ready to go to a Christmas concert at my school, I think it was. So what were the markers of my family growing up? Well, we love music. My dad worked for a radio station, so we would get all the new records hot off the press. We love the beach in the summer. We love my mom's turkey dinners, old movies, putting on a show. And even before we understood a personal relationship with Jesus, we went to the Anglican church every Sunday. So I have an older brother, Joey, and then he was about 3 years older than me. And then my sister, Paula, who's about a year and a bit older than me. And then me. And then twin younger brothers. Like, my mother was amazing. She had 5 kids, I think, under the age of 5 or 6. But there I am, as you can see in the second picture, right in the middle. I just noticed this morning when I was looking at it, I'm the only one with my eyes closed. Can't do a retake on that one. So I was the middle child. So, the middle child. People say a lot about middle children. But basically, it's like, who are you in this family? You're not the youngest, you're not the oldest, you're not even the first daughter. So that question, where do I belong, is not just a family question, it's a human question. And Scripture answers it. So we're going to talk about that today. In Romans, God reveals how he brings us into his family. So Romans 8:15 says, "You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Paul is teaching that those who are in Christ have received the spirit of adoption. They have been brought into a new relationship with God the Father. And this adoption is not symbolic only, it is a real change of status before God. Family name, rights, and inheritance, just like in our adoption today. And Abba is translated more like daddy or papa. And God is not distant. He is very close and personal. Those who were not his children are now his children. And for those of you who have experienced the joy of adoption yourself or in your extended family, which I have, it's so wonderful, and you totally understand what he's saying here. In John, it talks about how we become children of God. So John 1:12-13 says, "But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." John is explaining that becoming a child of God is not based on natural descent, nor human effort, nor human decision alone. It is the result of receiving Christ and believing in his name. Those who do so are given the right to become the children of God. Therefore, belonging to God's family is not earned. It is granted by God and received through faith. In Matthew, Jesus redefines his family. So in this verse, the context is that Jesus has just been told that his biological family is outside and present, and they want to speak to him. What did Jesus do? Were they upset with him? I don't know. But the Bible tells us that Jesus had several brothers, several sisters, so he actually had quite a big family. But, okay, so Matthew 12, 48 to 15, 50, sorry, Jesus replies to the man who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and brothers, for whoever does the will of the Father in heaven is my mother and sister and brother." Here Jesus has been told again about his biological family being there, and yes, he valued biological families, but he was talking more about spiritual family. He responds by identifying his disciples as his family. He establishes that those who do the will of the Father, those who respond to God in faith and obedience, are his true family. This shows that the family of God is not defined by physical relationship, but by relationship to God through Christ. Now, last week, on Sunday mornings, I usually come in for the first service, but in the second service, I kind of like to walk around a little bit. I'm like a big picture, big event person, so I sort of like to walk around the building and see what's going on. I might poke my head into the family room and say hi to everybody in there. So many cute babies in there sometimes. I might go up and say hi to the person who's doing registration for Kids Church. Maybe I'll look in the nursery a little bit. So I was doing that last week, so I was coming up a bit later into the service, and I noticed that the greeters that had been at the bottom door were already done and gone outside, or upstairs, I should say. But I did notice that there was still a whole bunch of people coming, so I thought, you know what, I'm going to just jump in here at the door and say hi to people. And honestly, it was so much fun. If you were looking for a place to just get in, something that's like dip your toe in the water, easy, a good way to get to know people, I suggest that you offer to greet at the door. It's a really good time. Every age and every stage of person, people coming in, people I knew and people I didn't, kids running in, a couple of Disney princesses showed up, older people walking in faithfully, some people coming with their families, some people coming on their own. Some people came in really confident. They're looking me back in the eye and saying good morning too. There was this one lady, if you're here today, she had this beautiful long pink dress on. And I said, "Oh my goodness, you look so gorgeous." And she said, it's my husband's birthday. And so I was like, "Oh my goodness." So I said, "Happy birthday to him." And then I thought, "Oh, I didn't get the note about dressing up on your husband's birthday." His birthday was last week. Next time I'll do it. But here's what struck me. At the door, everyone gets the same welcome. Not based on how long you've been here, not based on how much you know, and not based on what your week looked like. It's just to everyone, "Good morning, and we're glad you're here." And that's not just something that we do. That reflects something God has done. John 1:12 says, "But to all who receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God." So the verse is ultimately speaking to anyone who believes in Christ, no matter who you are, that anyone who receives Jesus by faith is given the right to become the child of God. God doesn't greet people based on history, performance, or background. And we don't either here at Calvary. He receives those who come to him through Christ and gives them a place in his family. So the door, it matters, because the way we welcome people should reflect the way that God welcomed us. Now, Scripture presents the people of God as growing and maturing, not all at the same stage, and that's expected within God's family. First, we have the role of the older generation. Psalm 71:18 says, "So even to old age and gray hair, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Those who have walked with God over time are called to declare his works to the next generation. They bear witness to God's power and faithfulness. And next is the role of spiritual parenting. 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Paul describes his relationship to believers as that of a father or a parent. This includes responsibility for their growth and instruction in the gospel. In God's family, there is an expectation of growth. Hebrews 5:12 to 14 says, For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk and not solid food, but solid food is for the mature. For those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. The writers of Hebrews show that growth is expected. Believers are to move from basic understanding to maturity through ongoing practice and discernment. Just as children grow up in a family, so do new believers in the church. Matthew 18:3 says, Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus teaches that entry into the kingdom requires humility and dependence, and this is where we all start. Greatness in God's kingdom is not based on status, but on a posture of trust and need. And Ephesians defines maturity. So Ephesians 4:15-16 says, Rather, speaking truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up into love. Spiritual maturity is described as growing into Christ. The whole body grows as each part functions properly. And growth is not static. It's movement towards Christ-likeness in truth and love. Colossians describes the life of God's family. Paul the Apostle is writing to the believers in the church at Colossae, a young Christian community made up of ordinary people learning how to live as the people of God in a culture heavily influenced by pagan religion, Greek philosophy, and legalistic teachings. So Colossians 3:12-15 says, Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against the other, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, or we could say one family there. Paul is not describing ideals. He's describing family culture. This is what it looks like when God's family becomes real. Because we are chosen and dearly loved, this is how we live. And this isn't just theory. It's what love looks like put into practice. This, of course, involves real-life moments, so I've seen lots of this happen in our Calvary community. We're celebrating together. People show up for each other in hard times, maybe meals brought, prayers prayed. People who have walked in alone now have a community. They have friends. They're known. It's not perfect, but it's real. And this is what Scripture describes the people of God becoming. Now, in honor of Mother's Day, we're going to talk about how God's heart for his people is like the heart of a mother. Isaiah 66:13 says, As one whose one his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You will be comforted. God describes his own care using the image of a mother. So when we see people nurture and remain and care for others, we are seeing something that reflects the character of God. Now, 1 John talks about our identity. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that they do not know him." John calls us to consider the kind of love God has given. That love is defined by this, that we are called the children of God, and he makes it explicit, and so we are. This, again, is not just symbolic. It is identity grounded in God's action. Those who belong to Christ are not only forgiven, but they are made the children of God. What does this identity produce? So remember at the beginning when I talked about characteristics of my family, like my own family, my family growing up, and those were kind of just like lighthearted and fun ones. But now we're going to look at the markers of a healthy spiritual family. Because we are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. This is how spiritual family lives. We belong before we become. We carry one another. Every generation has a place. We grow people, not crowds. We forgive as the Lord forgave us. We serve and honor one another. We rejoice without comparison. And we make room for growth. We live as one body, and we reflect the Father's character. Now at this point, and the message isn't quite done, but at this point, I would like to pray for all the mothers, just as we're wrapping up our message. So for those of you, I'm gonna pray for all the moms. For those of you who feel that you're doing a pretty good job, you're doing your best, you're not perfect, but you're doing your best. And I also want to pray for those who maybe feel like they're struggling and carry some regret. God's grace meets you here. In his family, failure is not final. He restores and leads forward in repentance and faith. So if we could just all close our eyes for a minute, I just want to pray for the moms. So Heavenly Father, today we thank you for every mother, grandmother, spiritual mother, and every woman who faithfully loves and serves and encourages and cares for others. We pray that you would strengthen and refresh them today. Where there is weariness, bring strength. And where there is discouragement, bring hope. Where there is grief, bring comfort and peace. We also pray for your blessing over every family represented today. Where there has been brokenness, we ask for healing. Where relationships have been strained, we ask for restoration. And where children or loved ones have drifted, we pray for a return to you, drawing hearts back to your grace and your truth and your love. Help us as your family to reflect your heart, not only in words, but in the way that we love and encourage and build each other up. Make us people who speak life, carry one another's burdens, and strengthen faith in those around us. We thank you that through Christ we are children of God, and that in your family there is grace for every story and purpose for every life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if Calvary Church is a family, it cannot be lived at a distance. So I'm just encouraging you all today. How can you grow? How can you mature? What could be your next step? We always say we're a next step church. So you're taking a next step or you're helping someone else take a next step. So step into relationship. Be known. Join a C group. Bring your kids out to youth. Make sure they're here for kids' church. Commit to your church family. But most importantly today, we have an invitation to receive Christ, to believe in his name, to be brought into the family of God. So with every eye closed again, if you would like to receive Christ today, to be part of your family, I would like you to pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I come to you today. I receive your love and forgiveness. I believe you are Lord. I believe you gave your life for me. Today, I turn from my old life and I come to the Father. I receive a new identity as a child of God. I receive a place in your family. Thank you for saving me and making me belong. So if you prayed that prayer today online, make sure that you mention that in the chat. give us your information. We would love to come alongside you in your new journey. In closing, I do want to reread our key verse, which is 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. This is not only something we believe, it's something we practice, because God has made a people for himself. And in that people, no one remains a stranger. We are the children of God. Happy Mother's Day.